Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. What a joy it is to be at the Village Bible Church and fellowship with Pastor Jamie Saxon, his family, and then meet some friends like Brother Jacob and his family, and Luke and his family. And then we have Will this morning. Yesterday, Pastor Jamie Saxon and I was able to go, and Pastor Saxon shared the gospel to me. And at the end of the conversation, both were kneeling down, and Will was in tears. And I believe he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is in the house of God today. Amen.
Amen.
And I look forward to something very soon. He'll be getting my talk and be a strong member in the church and serve the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Pastor JT, once again for having me here and allowing me to bring the Word of God this morning to your wonderful congregation. I'm so happy to stand here. I thank God for this opportunity and thank Pastor JT for this opportunity. And I come all the way from Goa, India. Goa is a state, India is a country. And in Goa, I pastor the Grace and Truth Baptist Church. Started that church in the year 2007 with 5 souls and 4 broken chairs in my mom's living room. And today, in the year 2016, from 2007 to 2023, 16 years later, we are having 150 people gathering every Sunday, saved, baptized, and as members of our church, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We are serving the Lord in many different ways. Our church has many different ministries. We feed the children on the street. We educate the children in the slum. We help 200 children in the slum to go to school, study, and we go to their homes, share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because soup and soap may not help you internally. It may help you outside, but only salvation helps you inside.
Amen.
And so we see that salvation is the most important factor of our ministry. And then we are training young men in the Bible College. We have a Bible College called Disciples Baptist Bible College. And so young men from different states in India will come and get trained in our Bible College. And then they go out and plant new churches. So we train many, but 27 stay faithful. And 27 of them are in different parts of India who have planted Bible-believing churches and pastoring their churches. Recently, we were able to plant a church in Mumbai, and a church in Bengal, and a church in Orissa, and Delhi. We are so happy that the Lord is using these young men to go out and promote the Word of God and plant Bible-believing churches, and we are able to support them financially. And I'm also on the TV preaching the gospel 3 times a day, 24 minutes each. I preach the gospel to 8 million people on the television, and it is spreading every day. And so please pray for our ministry and see how you can play a part in our ministry, stand in the gap for us, pray for us, encourage us, and pray for my wife, Grace. She's from Nebraska, and the Lord miraculously brought us together. That story I will tell you this evening. If you will come, you'll be happy that you came this evening to hear the story about how the Lord brought a woman from Nebraska and made a wife to a man in India. And how did that all happen? It's a fairy tale. You come and hear the story this evening as I share the story in what happened and how the Lord brought me and my wife together. We are married for 10 years with 4 beautiful, gorgeous, handsome-looking young men. My oldest son is 9 years old, second is 7 years old, third is 4 years old, and fourth is 2 years old. And right now they are in Nebraska spending time with their grandma and grandma, while my wife spends time with her parents, and I'm traveling and preaching the Word of God. And so thank you once again. Turn your Bible with me today to 2 Chronicles. I mean, in the last couple of weeks I've been studying the book of 2 Chronicles. And so my sermon comes out from this book. 12 o'clock I will end the sermon and do my best to stop before that. But if you think I'm going on this, raise your hand. Or write it on a piece of paper and say KISS. I don't know, it doesn't mean kiss, it means keep it short, stupid. So I'll do that. So turn your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we are going to look at, this is a long chapter, so I'm not going to read all of that, but we will jump from verse to verse and see what the Lord has in store for you and for me as a Christian and as a church, how God wants us to behave, how God wants us to walk, what God wants us from our life. So, in verse number 3, chapter number 20, verse number 3, the word of God says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." That's called loving prayer. Our dearest loving Heavenly Father, this morning we are thankful that we can open the scripture and we can hear you speak to us through the preacher. We pray that God will fill us with your Holy Spirit, give us a receptive heart and alert mind. Father, I pray thou cover me behind thy cross so that Jesus Christ may be glorified today through the preaching of your word. Bless us, O God, with your message. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
When we read this chapter, we understand that three great multitude, a great company of army are coming to attack Jehoshaphat and Judah. They want to destroy this nation. They are coming to make a war. They're coming for battle. That's what we see in verse number 1. It came to pass after these that also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. They want to destroy Jehoshaphat. They want to destroy Judah. And when enemies come against you, there's one thing that happens in yours and my life is we fear. We are afraid. We are filled with anxiety and we don't know what's going to happen. And immediately, if you are a child of God, when this human fear grips within us, what do you do? I believe you fear and you run to God. We run to God and we pray to God and we want God to take control of the situation because we know that if we will run to God, God is able to take care of us. I believe with all my heart, when God's people show trust upon Jesus Christ, when God's people fear God, God will give you wisdom and God will give you protection. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you fear God, God will give you wisdom. Wisdom doesn't come by reading many books. By reading many books, you may have knowledge, but on your knees in the fear of God, that's how you get wisdom. And so in verse number 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. He feared because the enemies are coming to battle. He feared because he's going to be destroyed. He feared because Judah is going to be destroyed. And he feared and he ran to God. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared. You know what he did when he feared? He did not use his logic and his techniques and his knowledge. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. The first thing that he did was he feared God and he sought God and he fasted and he called the people to fast. In this day and age, a lot of Christians believe in feasting more than fasting more. We feast more and fast less, and so we see the powerless in our life. Fasting has a great, great impact in every Christian life. We ought to fast sometimes at least. If you can't fast every week, you should fast every week. Monday at least once in a month. If you can't fast at least once in a month, at least once in a week you ought to fast. My grandmother was 103 years old and she fasted every Friday and she read her Bible all the time. She never went to the hospital, she never went to the doctor, she was totally healthy and when she was 103 years old, while she was on the bed, she knew that she is dying. She said, God is calling me. And this is the word she uttered in her mouth. Praise the Lord. And she died. She was 103. Fasted every Friday. And she prayed. She read the Bible. Every time I saw her, she fasted and prayed. Every time I went to meet her, she didn't know I was. She was losing her memory. But one thing she knew, and she said, she asked me, who are you? I said, I am your grandson, I'm Lord's son. Oh. And she said, no matter what you do, keep your heart very pure. Let there be no stain in your heart. And she said that to everyone that went to meet her. Keep your heart pure. Let there be no stain in your heart. Because your body is the temple. Fasting makes us draw more closer to the Lord. Fasting shows that we are serious. And what Jehoshaphat did was, he sought God. This morning we saw, as long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. And when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you set your eyes on the Lord, God will take care of you, dear friend. Your blessing and your security and your in the White House, but in the Lord's house. So don't put your faith too much on the president of the nation. Put your faith more on the Lord Jesus Christ. People are more involved in the politics and wondering who is going to be the next president, who is going to help us, who is going to make us prosperous. Let me tell you this, no president can make your life better anymore. This world will become more and more worse until the Lord comes and brings peace. But until then, as Christians, if you and I will keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of you. It's going to be fine. He'll make you go through the fiery furnace. And even if you fall in the lion's den, he's going to shut the mouth of the lion and he will take care of you. He's not promising that he will not put you in the lion's den. He didn't say that you will not go through the fiery furnace. But he said, even if you go through the fiery furnace, I will be with you. Amen. He says, even if they throw you in the lion's den, I will make the lion's mouth shut. And for that, you and I ought to put our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast in the fiery furnace, you know what happened? They didn't put their eyes on the fire, but they put their eyes on the Son of God. That's why the fourth person, the Son of God, was with them in the fiery furnace. When Daniel was put in the lion's den, Daniel did not put his eyes on the lion, but he put his eyes upon the Lord God of Israel. So keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast for all Judah. They drew closer to God. Verse number 8. The Bible says, Jehoshaphat is praying. He's fasting within the nation, and now he's praying to God. And his prayer is amazing. We know about Daniel's prayer, we know about Solomon's prayer, we know about David's prayer, but hardly we talk about Jehoshaphat's prayer. But if you will read his prayer in the scripture, your life will be transformed if you apply his prayer in your life. And in verse number 8 it says, and they dwell, he's praying now, this is his prayer, and he says, and they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying. So what he's saying, he's reminding God in prayer, oh God, your people are dwelling in the house of God. My dear friend, this morning, you and I need to stay and dwell in the Lord's sanctuary. God has given you a beautiful building here. How beautiful this is. Wonderful pews and great pulpit and a wonderful building Now you are truly blessed. Now we don't have that facility, but you are truly blessed. Now we are blessed in our own ways, you are blessed in your own ways. You know what God wants you and me to do? As God's children, we are supposed to be dwelling in the house of the Lord. That's what David says. One thing I desire of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and seek His face and worship the beauty of His holiness. The King of Israel, the King of Judah, David, the man of the God's own heart, he has seen everything. His desire was not entertainment. His desire was not wealth. He has everything. He tasted. But he knew what was more important. He says, one thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. God's people should be passionate. God's people should be hungry. God's people should be looking ahead to be in the house of the Lord on the Sunday morning. Too many Christians want to say, oh, Pastor, you know, I love the church. I love you, Pastor. I'm with you in my spirit. That sounds very spiritual, isn't it? Pastor, I'm going to be on my computer and watch through the internet. I'm going to watch. You know, I can't come to the church today because my mother-in-law is going to come. I can't come to the church because I've got to go for a football match. Today there is some Christians have all kind of excuses, but God says we got to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. Forsake not the assembling of the saints, as the Bible says, for so many of them have forsaken. God says no. Thank God for you today. I salute you. I praise God for you today. That you woke up in the morning, you got dressed up, and you came into the house of the Lord with a Bible in your hand, with a heart of desire to worship God and praise Him. And that ought to be our desire until we go to the grave, dear friend. Be in the house of the Lord. If you love your wife, where will you go in the night? You'll go back to your wife in the house. Am I right? If you love your husband, where will you go in the night? Go back to your husband in the house. Am I right? Yeah. If you love God, where will you go on the day of the Lord? You should be in the house of God. Don't tell me you love God and stay home and watch your movies. Don't tell me you love God and you watch your football match. Don't tell me you have some... No. I don't believe that. If you love God, you'll be in the house of God. We as Christians ought to make excuses to be in the house of God. We have to make excuses. And first of all, to say, Lord, we dwell. They dwell there. That was their life. We want to be in the house of God. We want to serve you. We want to fellowship with God's people. Encourage one another. You know, when you were saved, you know, the beginning of your salvation, when you got saved, you were about reading the Bible, passionate about praying, and passionate about telling everyone, and you were looking forward for Sunday to come. You were ready on Sunday morning, Monday morning, and waiting and counting days, so when Sunday will come, so I can go to church. And then 3 years later, 4 years later, it became a little bit cold. God says, no, come back. Bring back your first love. That coldness ought to go. You've got to be on fire for God. Be passionate for God. The Lord is going to come back. The evil in this world is increasing. When God's people should not be sleeping like Jonah, we need to arise and call upon our God. The Muslims pray 5 times a day. The Jewish pray 3 times a day. The Hindus pray during their time. Christians ought to get up in the morning on Sunday, get rest for the Lord, get your Bible in your hand, and be in the house. One is the family. Second is the government. And third is the church. And the devil is taking everything. Day by day, family is destroyed today. God said, man ought to marry a woman. Now man is marrying a man. Woman is marrying a woman. The devil has taken over. The government. God instituted so God can rule over the people. No, looked at the Corinth people. He looked at those Christians who are bitter and envious and cold and who are angry with their preacher and angry with everything. And you know what the devil did? The devil got them. And today we find churches compromising. We see churches today going away from God's word. We see churches today cold and become more worldly. And people come into the church and they see the world. People go to the world, they see a church. People are confused about what is church and what the world is today. Thank God. Thank God for many churches in America who are still holding to the word of God, who are still praising the Lord Jesus Christ, who are still worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep on doing what you are doing. Keep on giving on and serve the Lord and set your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Dwell, and stay in the house of God. Father and mothers, if you will do that, your children will stay in the house of God. Raise your children in the house of God. And you be in the house of God. Don't tell your children go to church. Don't tell your children go to pray. Don't tell your children read your Bible. Show them how to go to church. Come with them to the house of God. Be with them in the prayer. We ought to set a godly example to our children. And they will follow you. And they will follow everything that you do more than what you say. Everybody okay? Because people, you know what? God said we need to stay in the house of God because people are wandering today. Our mind can wander right now. You know what God told to Moses? God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to come up there. I want you to come. I want to give you tablets, two tablets for your headaches. No, he told you, I'll give you two tablets of gold. I want to tell them, I want the people of God to know how to live a life. I want you to come. Come up there. And Moses got up and he took Joshua and took up and told Joshua, you wait here, I'll just go up and meet God and come back. But God made it very specific. This is what God said. Moses, come up and be there. You know what he said? Be there. Everybody say, be there.
Be there.
He said, be there. You know why? Because it's possible to go up there and not be there. It's possible to be in the house of God and not be here. It's possible to listen and not hear. God says, be there. It's possible to be sitting here and thinking about what I'm going to cook in the afternoon. Yeah. It's possible to be here and think about whom am I going to visit this evening? And God says, no. Why you are here? Be here. Be there. Which means intentionally, purposely, you bring your heart and your mind and your intention and bring it under subjection and say, I am not going to allow my mind to loiter and wander here and there while I am in the house of God. I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm going to dwell in the house of God. I'm not going to allow the devil to get control of my mind. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God says, hey, control your heart, control your mind. Bring it under subjection. When it tries to loiter, when it tries to go away, tell your heart and mind, I'm not going to allow this to happen. Be here. Psalm 42, you look at that, and David is saying, why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. You talk to yourself and say, I'm not going to wander. I'm going to be here in the house of God. Intentionally, purposely. When the preacher preaches, I want to hear every word that he preaches. When you sing, I'm going to sing every stanza that is told to me, son. You're going to be here dwelling. With my heart, mind, and soul. I'm not just going to be in the spirit. I'm going to be here with my body, with my soul, and my spirit. Because, Pastor, I will be there in the spirit. I cannot come to the church today. But I'll be there in the spirit. No, you cannot worship God in the spirit alone. You cannot. God didn't make you a man of spirit. God made you a tripartite, with a body, with a soul, and a spirit. And God is one God in three persons. As a Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you cannot worship God with your spirit alone. You've got to worship God with your body, with your every person. Psalm 103, verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. So you bring your body, you bring your soul, and you bring your spirit to worship the triune God. We cannot say, I'll be in the spirit. No way. It doesn't happen. We try to fool others. We cannot. I believe you are here today with your body, soul, and spirit. Worshiping God. Praise God for you. Keep on giving God, dear beloved. Keep serving the Lord. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Verse number 12. I love this. Oh, our God. Jehoshaphat still praying. Oh, our God. Will thou not judge them? For we have no mind against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, dear friend, when you don't know what to do, don't do anything, because if you do what, well, when you don't know anything, you will ruin everything. Listen to this. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Because if you do something when you don't know what to do, you will ruin everything. When you don't know what to do, set your eyes simply on the Lord and let God take control of your situation. Oh Lord, I don't know what to do. My children are going wayward. I don't know what to do. But I'm going to put my eyes upon you. God's going to take care of your children. Oh God, there's some issue going on with my marriage. I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know what to do, oh God. I'll set my eyes upon you. God will take care of your marriage. Dear friend, the Bible is not difficult. The Bible is easy. He gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us. What we need to do is not worry about what you don't understand. We have to be worried about what we understand already. And God says, I've given you the Holy Ghost, and you obey the scripture, and you do what the word of God says, when you don't know what to do, set your eyes on the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do about my financial life. I don't know what to do about my children going wayward. I don't know what to do about my daughter being rebellious. I don't know what to do about my husband who's drinking. I don't know what to do about my wife who's not submissive. I don't know what to do about my husband not loving and kind. I don't know what to do about my spiritual life. But God, I don't know what to do about my neighbor. And God's going to say, baby, darling, sweetheart, my son, my daughter, don't do anything when you don't know what to do. Set your eyes upon me. Set your eyes upon me. God says, put your eyes. You know what Peter did? When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter said, oh God, if it's you, tell me to come. I want to walk. And Jesus said, come on, walk. And Peter walked on the water. Peter walked. Peter kept looking at Jesus and started walking. Oh God, this is amazing. Lord, is this really true? I'm walking on the water. And he walked on the water because his eyes was on Jesus. Until he put his eyes on the side and looked at the waves and the storm. And the moment he put his eyes away, he began to drown. But thank God, while he was drowning, he called upon the Lord and put his eyes again upon the Lord, and the Lord lifted him up. Hallelujah. The Lord lifted him up. Today you might be, some of you may be thinking, I feel like I'm drowning in my life. I feel like my children are drowning in their life. I feel like this is what is happening in my life. Oh, dear friend, you might be drowning, but put your eyes on the Lord and see and watch how the Lord will lift you up. As the psalmist said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which we have in earth. Our help comes from the Lord. When you don't know what to do, put your eyes upon the Lord. Don't fight your unnecessary battle. There are many battles that you are not supposed to be fighting. You are supposed to keep your eyes on the Lord. Jehoshaphat says, oh God, I know I'm a warrior. I didn't fight. I have an army. But this is a large army. The three company of multitude coming to battle against us. I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. But our eyes are changing my diaper, you went and changed. And if you as a father and mother are so concerned about your children and so helpful for your children, think about it, how much more our Heavenly Father is concerned about you and me. Set your eyes upon the Lord my God. God will take care of you. Dwell in the house of God. Dwell in the house of God. Look at verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Look at that. They didn't say, husband, tell the wife, today I don't feel like coming, I know there's a battle, I don't think they're fasting, but you go to the church with the children, I'm not coming. The wife didn't say, well, today, last night I had a rough night, I didn't get sleep, you take the children and go to church. No, that's not what the wife said. The children didn't say, oh my, I was sitting there watching this video game, I played the video game, daddy, mommy, I'm not going to the Bible says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. The whole family came before the Lord. The whole family came before the Lord. Husband, wife, make a commitment. Fathers and mothers, make a commitment. Daddy and mommy with children, make a commitment. I am not going to be in my house on Sunday. I want to be in the house of God with my wife, with my husband, with my children, with my father, with my mother. I want to be in the house of God together as a family. That's what God's desire. That's what God wants. That is the will of God that we do in Christ Jesus concerning. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. They made excuses to be in the house of the Lord. They didn't make excuses to go out, but to be here. Do God's business with your whole family. Your whole family. Encourage your children. Encourage your wife. Encourage your husband. Encourage your parents. Encourage your when you are in a relationship, be in the house of God. God wants that. Don't let the devil take control of your church. He has taken control of many churches. But you don't allow him to take control. You stay there. You be in the house of God. And if you think that your children are gone in the world, or your husband is gone in the world, the wife is gone in the world, you get on your knees, put your eyes on the Lord, you stay faithful in the house of God, and you do what God has called you to do, you stay faithful, and God will see that he will reward you for your faithfulness. He will do that. We worship a living God. We're not worshiping a dead God, a dumb God, a made God. We're worshiping the living God who rose again on the third day out of the tomb. He's alive forever. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, and then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jair, the son of Matathiah, a Levite, the son of Asa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. There are many battles today. There are many battles in your life. It's not your battle. You simply fight. You simply spend time fighting about and making enmity because of politics. We are fighting against Democratic and Republican. It's not our battle. The Lord will fight your battle. You just keep being faithful to the Lord. You just love the Democratic. You just love the Republican. Show the love of Jesus Christ. And you stay faithful to the Word of God. It's not your battle. You keep your eyes on the Lord. It's God's battle. God will fight your battle. Whatever your battles are today, keep your eyes on the Lord. It's that simple. We are fighting a battle which is not ours. There are many battles we are fighting which is not ours. We have to simply keep our eyes on the Lord. Tomorrow you may go home and say, oh, Again, a big problem. Lord, I don't know what to do. Remember, when you don't know what to do, keep your eyes on the Lord and stay faithful. God's going to take care of your situation. Financial situation, family situation, ministry, job, business, politics, whatever, hell, God will take care of you. I can preach this message with such great confidence because I know that the God that I serve is a living God. He is a miracle-working God, and He is a wonder-working God, and He will do great wonders in your life if you set your eyes upon the Lord. Don't fight unnecessary battles by your own strength. Let God do what He's supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. And what He's supposed to do is put your eyes on the Lord all the day. Lord, I'm going to be in the church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to be kind to my husband. I'm going to submit to my husband. I'm going to be obedient to my parents. I'm going to be submissive to my pastor. I'm going to help him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to be supportive to my church. Oh, God, I'm going to do what you call me to do. I'm not going to fight the battle unnecessarily. I'm going to keep my eyes upon you because I know your word says you'll take care of me. I'm going to show you something great very soon. Stay with me in verse number 14. As you see, every battle belongs to God if you are living a surrendered life. Every battle. This man says, the battle belongs to the Lord. Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. It may be a big problem. It may be a problem of a huge problem. Big multitude. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Set your eyes on it. It's the Lord's battle. He'll fight for you. He cares about you. You know there are two people care about you more in this world? Because you're so precious. He cares about your soul. He thinks you are very precious. The devil is after your soul and Jesus is after your soul. You know why these two people are fighting? Because they know how precious your soul is. The devil wants to get a soul and take it to hell. Because you're precious. And he wants to take it to hell. But Jesus knows that you are precious and He died for your soul. He died for you on the cross of Calvary by shedding His precious blood. And you were buried and He rose again on the third day to give you salvation, to give you victory, to give you a new hope in heaven. Because you're precious. That's important to you. And if you're precious to God, then God will fight your battle. For me, my children are very precious. And I fight a battle for my children. How much more God will fight your battle? Because you are God's child. So in verse number 17, he shall not need to fight in this battle. He shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself standing still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against him, for the Lord will be with you. I mean, look at this encouragement from God. Don't be afraid. You need not fight in this battle. You set yourself standing still and see the salvation of the Lord. You just do what God told you to do. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Be in the house of God. Read your word. Read your Bible. Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your parents. Serve the Lord. Worship Him. And you will see God doing miracles in your life. It's not your battle. You don't have to fight your battle. The Lord will fight your battle. Verse number 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping. You know what God wants us to do? God doesn't want you to battle, have battle. He wants you to worship. And your worship should be honest. Your worship should be pure. And your worship should be humble. Come with humility before God. Honestly before God. Pure heart. And say, God, I'm here to worship you. I'm going to sing. I'm going to give as I'm supposed to give. I'm going to give my offering. I'm going to give you a tithe. I'm going to give more. Because you have blessed me more. And I'm going to worship you. I'm going to encourage somebody. I'm going to listen to God's word. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. constant purity. Verse number 19. And the Levites, the children of Kohathites and the children of Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. When you sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We are to sing loudly for the glory of God. The Bible says, lift your voice and make a loud noise unto the Lord. Amen? You know, we still sit in front of television and we watch this football game, and when somebody scores, you know, automatically you want to shout and you want to play. We want to shout out here. When we come to the house of God, our voice doesn't open. God says, no, make a joyful noise. Hey, we need some cheerleaders in the church also, by the way, with proper clothing. We need some cheerleaders when the preacher stands and preaches the word of God, and the word of God comes and pierces the heart, and something encourages, and you feel like God has called and gave you that great message. You got to be shouting, amen, preacher. We need some cheerleaders in the house of God. And you'll notice that when we have cheerleaders in the house of God, the preacher's message will be powerful, and the preacher will be more pumped up, and he's going to preach the word of God. He's going to work out more in the word of God and bring a message, because he knows my people are hungry and they want to encourage me and they want to receive the message that God gave. And they are hungry, they are thirsty. When God's people become passionate and excited about God's word, we need some cheerleaders in the house of God. Not just in football match or soccer match or basketball match, but in the house of God. That's why we shout, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everybody okay? And so verse number 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went up. You know, we're not coming here to sing, I worship me. I worship me. The reason I live, I live, is to worship. When I look into my holiness, that is not why we come into the house of God. We come to sing praises and worship the beauty of His holiness. Amen? You know, some people say, you know, we don't tell lies, we sing lies. And I surrender all. Not my wallet, by the way.
Or you might not go with a blessing. God is watching your heart.
say, I'm going to praise God and I'm not going to listen to what the preacher preaches. God says, you believe in me? You also believe in the prophet. We have to believe in our preacher when he preaches the word of God. We ought to believe that the message that he's bringing is for my spiritual growth, is for my family. I believe in my preacher. I stand with my preacher. I support my preacher. My word of God says, I've got to believe in God and I ought to believe in my preacher also. You know, you can come and worship God and go home, and then on your lunch table you can roast your preacher. I think he was hinting at me today. I think my wife called him up and told him about me. That's why he was preaching there. I think my husband might have gossiped about me to my preacher. That's why he was hinting at me. No. A preacher doesn't need to hear all those things. God speaks through the preacher when he stands up and preaches the word of God. He doesn't need to hear anything, because when God wants you to hear, the preacher will say, and that's the reason why God's people should believe in God and believe in the preacher and believe in what he preaches. That's when the faith increases. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And who preaches the word of God? The preacher. And you sing with a doubt in your mind and criticizing it and being bitter against your preacher, your faith will not increase, your family will not change, your spiritual life will go wayward. And that's why God said, hey, I don't want you to ruin your spiritual life. I don't want you to hinder your blessing. I want you to believe in me, and I want you to believe in my servant. Every Christian, every church member should believe in God. Believe in your pastor. That's when prosperity comes in your life. That's what the Bible says. Look at it again. I didn't write the Bible. This is not Watson Ross' version. This is God's word. And God says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe his prophet, so shall he prosper. If you want God to prosper your family, believe in God and your preacher. If you want God to prosper your business, believe in God and your pastor. If you want God to prosper your children, believe in God and your pastor. If you want God to prosper your health, believe in God and your pastor. Loving, supporting, praising, encouraging, appreciating, defending. When people come and speak bad about your preacher to you, defend your preacher. That's very important. Because when you don't do that, and you listen against him, and you speak against him, the devil gets into your mind, and into your family, into your children. The children know that, oh, my daddy is speaking bad about my pastor. My mommy is speaking bad about our pastor. I think it's okay. So I just go to the church, and I'm going to see another point where I can criticize you. God says, believe in God, and believe in your pastor. That's how we prosper. Isn't that good? Yeah. That's God's word. Verse 21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of his holiness, and went out to the army to praise the Lord, and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy and endureth forever. They would say, praise the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. That's what you're supposed to say. Verse 22. And I love this. I'm finishing it here. Verse 22. I think the clock is a little. It's fine. Okay. And when they began to sing and to pray, I'm not taking a child, I'm sorry. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord said, abuseness against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which will come against Judah. Look at that. And they were smitten. This people did not go and fight. They stood up and they sang, and God smote the enemy. They didn't fight. They stood up and they sang.
There are bells that you're bending today. You may have to bring it to the altar today. Maybe the battle of your sickness, battle of your family, battle of your children, battle of your relationship, battle of your wife and your husband, battle of whatever it is. You may be unnecessarily fighting by not doing what God told you to do. And today God might have spoken to you. Be honest and sincere. Bring it to God's altar and lay it at God's feet. And say, Lord, I surrender all.